Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Yeah, doing a show again. That's right, doing a show on Thursday. I just did one yesterday, and I'm doing another tomorrow. Boy, am I going to have a sore throat. But that's okay. I'm going to do my best to let everybody else do the talking. If everybody calls in, it'll be just wonderful. Well, let's see, I'm in New York, I'm in my home, and it's dark out, and that's what I got to say with that. Now, yesterday I did a show regarding Discover Suite, a lesbian travel company, and their inaugural cruise to the Western Caribbean. Their focuses on voluntourism, and yesterday we had on Shannon Wentworth, who's the co-founder of Sweet. And today I'm going to have on some of the entertainers that were on the cruise. I think I caught like four of the comedians, Jenny McNulty, who by the way was supposed to call in yesterday, Gloria Bigelow, Chantel Carrere, and Sandra Valls, or Valls, I think it's pronounced. But in the meantime, of course, there's a message from one of our sponsors.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yes, brownies. This is a great time to get the brownies because the holidays are coming up. And if you go to www.brownies.com, you can absolutely get these delicious brownies, especially the ones that are coming out just for the holidays in particular. They are enrobed, the little brownies, and they're enrobed in dark chocolate and covered with bits of candy cane. Delicious, like having a mint chocolate ice cream, really thick, but they're very fudgy. So we're going to begin, as a matter of fact. I have Jenny McNulty on the air right now, don't I?
I believe so. Do you have me on the air?
Yes.
Are you? I'm here, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
are you ready for some football?
Oh, okay.
I'm always ready to play some football.
Yeah, let's tell us what I know you're a comedian on the ship, but tell us just a little bit about this whole thing with the football. How'd you get involved anyway?
How did I get involved? I was at Long Beach Pride in, I think it was 2002, and I saw a booth for the team, and I thought, well, I'd never even heard of it. I didn't know women played contact football, and I said, you know, I'd been a dream of mine since I was two to play. I mean, I've always grown up loving football. So I thought, well, you know what, I'll just go down and throw the ball around for a day, get some material out of it, and just have a fun day. I never thought I'd make a team, and here I am, 8 years later, still playing.
Wow. What team are you playing for? Yeah.
I play for the California Quake.
Okay, cool.
We were initially based out of Long Beach. We've now, we're actually playing a little outside of there now, kind of in between Long Beach and LA at a place called Downey. They, we got a high school there that has one of the those really nice fields that have a little rubber stuff in them, and they let us use the field for practice and game time. So it's a good little marriage. We like our new home field.
Oh, great! So and when people, because people are always, well, now they're asking me. I'm always talking about football to anybody that I can, you know. And I'm always saying, well, where do you live? And I'll tell you what football team is in your area.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, you know, I need to take a piece of paper and have a list with me that I can say, oh, wait, let me pull out my list and tell you, you know, what's in your area, you know. But anyway, so you've been playing all the, and what position do you play?
I play defensive back and, like, 14th string wide receiver.
Okay. I understand wide receiver. I understand. You know why?
Why?
Because it's the closest one to the sidelines. And I'm pacing the sidelines, what, you know, when I'm with the New York Sharks. I'm pacing up and down on the sidelines, and I go, I see that person running. I see that person running. What's that person's position? Wide receiver. Oh, okay. That's the one I know. That, I guess, yeah. And I can figure out the quarterback and the center. The kicker, I can do that. But any
well,
other
I hope
thing,
so.
You know, most of the other things I'm going, whatever they do. how did you, and when did you start getting into comedy then?
Oh, I started doing comedy back in the late 80s. I was working, I'd just gotten out of college, and I was working in a research lab, and working with a guy who was very, very similar to me in personality, you know, and I'd played sports my whole life, so I never did theater, but I always kind of wanted to do something in the entertainment field. I always made my friends laugh and stuff, but I had never done it in school because, you know, theater ran at the same time as sports did, so I never really did that. So I was working at this research lab, and like, this guy was about, I don't know, 15, 20 years older than I was, but like I said, we were very similar in personality, and he was going through what I perceived to be a little midlife crisis, and I thought, that's going to be me in another 15, 20 years if I don't kind of, you know, scratch this itch. So
yeah.
I started, and I went and I watched a few open mic nights. I watched like 3 or 4 open mic nights before I did anything, and the very first open mic night I happened to go to, a guy I went to junior high with was on stage. So I was talking to him afterwards, and he said, well, you know, you just got to call up on Thursdays and put your name on the list, and then, you know, call back Monday and find out if you're on the show. So I went and I watched, like I said, I watched about 4 of them before I finally signed up, and I just kept doing it ever since. I had a really good first experience, and still doing it.
And what was, when you said, what's your focus in terms of the comedy?
I like to, I talk a lot about playing football. I talk about, you know, whatever's going on at the time. I kind of like to do a lot of improv in my shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of like to play with the crowd a little bit and kind of go wherever they lead us. You know, I talk about gay issues. I talk about, you know, relationships, kind of stuff everybody talks about.
Yeah, when you're talking about food, now I'm curious. What was any particular funny things that you've come across when playing football? That, you know.
Well, yeah, just that it's you know, I am one of the old women on the team, you know, and I take a lot of grief from the young kids out there, and they always give me a hard time, like, you know what, you're grounded. But it's funny too because. You have to kind of play that by the crowd in terms of what they're responding to, because sometimes if I go too heavy into the football stuff, they kind of, you know, you can see, you know, kind of lose them. So it depends on the crowd that I'm working on. But
well, I could definitely relate to anything that you would say about the football. I mean,
or at least 3 of the positions anyway, right?
Huh? Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I find... sometimes, you know, the kids, and I have to call them kids because of how old I am and how young they are. So to me, it's like my kids, you know. But I, you know, they could be hysterical. I mean, they, you know, I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing watching the football games. But anyway, so tell me, like, what was your experience of the cruise, of the Sweet Cruise?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. I had a great time. My girlfriend was able to come with me, which doesn't always happen. So that was really, really nice. you know, to be able to just go out and hang out. I thought it was, I actually didn't go on any of the excursions, the, you know, the painting, the pediatric wards and things like that. We didn't get a chance to, but just talking to some of the people that did it, you know, I wish I had, because it seemed like it was just a, just an incredibly rewarding experience. And I think, you know, it was the first trip, and so everybody sort of had a new and excitement about it. And I felt like, the people were very diverse and fun. I had a really, really fun time. I thought it was a great, great trip.
How did you fare the hurricane?
You know what? We lucked out. It didn't. But I'm kind of a little neurotic anyway, so I was being rocked to sleep. So it was kind of nice.
It rocked you to sleep?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? You know, it's funny. Like, you know, and people were saying that, and I mean, I was using the express tossing and turning in my sleep, and I didn't think I had a choice.
Yeah, it was pretty, you know, it was, the weird thing was it when it, you know, it felt like it was lifting up and slapping back down on the ground again.
Where was your cabin?
We were up in the ninth deck. We were kind of near the front, so we were feeling it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the time thinking, boy, it feels like we're actually kind of lifting up in the air and slapping back down again. I thought, the ship's too big for that.
Yeah.
And then someone pointed out to me that, well, yeah, the body of water you're in is kind of big, too. So it was like, oh, wow, okay. I'm glad I didn't think about that at the time.
I mean, I don't know what they call whiplash in the back, but that's what I was experiencing. It's like I'm smacking into the bed on the it's certainly not the softest beds I've ever experienced either, you know.
Yeah. You don't spend too much time in the room, so.
Yeah, but when I want to sleep, I, you know.
Yeah.
You know, walking around groggy for an entire day. And now, did you do more than, I saw you in one show. And bingo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my alter ego did the bingo for me.
I see. So is that one of your characters?
It is. You know what? That started, I do, for the radio listeners that don't know what we're talking about out there, it's I do a drag king character called Dirty Steve. And that started in Provincetown 4 years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago, with my friend Mimi Gonzalez, who's also a comedian. And there was a really fantastic, really people that do it really, really well, drag king troupe called All the King's Men, based out of Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in town, and they were doing this, one of the shows that they were doing, kind of like an amateur one, and they needed people to do it. So Mimi and I, they were just kind of like, this was, after a couple of cocktails, they talked us into it. And I'm like, ah, sure, what the heck. So we, I don't know what we even did. I think we lip-synced to some song or whatever, but we really kind of had a lot of fun doing it. And so we kind of started hosting our own shows during the week, because we were both of us, Mimi and I are both there all summer long. So we started hosting the shows during the summer, and then we did it one during Women's Week where all the other entertainers performed. Like Michelle Ballin was there, and she was in drag, but she was a half and half drag. So she had half her face made up like a guy with a mustache,
no.
And the other half had a wig. And so she did a duet with The Temptations and the Supreme song. I can't think of the name of it now, but she did the duet, like, just, you know, facing whichever side of her face to the audience. It was really hysterical. And Poppy Champlin did Abraham and Cheese Lincoln, and like recited some sort of a knockoff on the Gettysburg Address, and it was really, really fun, and it's really kind of taken off. So Mimi and I have been doing it now for the last 3 summers, and during Women's Week we host this, you know, amateur drag king contest. It's just really Mimi and I being stupid, really, but Dirty Steve is the character that I do there, and so Layla or somebody suggested to me that when I host the bingo I should do it as Dirty Steve. So I didn't have my usual, like, facial hair that I had, so I just kind of drew on a mustache. And had some fun.
Kind of noticed that. Yeah, that was that was pretty different. Then you did the show in the evening.
Just a quick opener for Suzanne. Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. I mean, it was, like I said, the people there, I think, were just, it was just very exciting. There was like a level of excitement to the whole week that I just found it was a lot of fun, you know, and the hurricane sort of, I think, bonded everybody.
Yeah, I think so. Now, what in particular, like, in terms of your humor, what do you find funny? What do you, like, you know, what do you look at as, you know?
Well, you know, like, Steve Martin, I think, is just, he's really funny to me. And granted, a great deal of them can get annoying, but I think puns are kind of funny. In general, I'm not a big fan of like slapstick humor, and I don't like. It's not that I don't like really particularly dirty humor. I just think it's not. There's not much of a challenge to it because it's sort of like people are kind of laughing at the shock value of what you're saying as opposed to the wit behind it. So for me, I kind of like. Just stuff that sort of makes you think a little bit and, you know, kind of takes you by a little bit by surprise. I guess that's how you would describe it. Observational.
Yeah. Any particular example that you that comes to mind?
Of what I think is funny?
Yeah. In other words, like if you were, you know, throwing out a couple of lines, something, or...
Oh. I can't be doing other people's jokes, Merle. You get me in trouble. I heard Jenny on the radio doing other people's jokes. No, I just, you know, I don't, you know, like I don't like mean-spirited humor at all. Anything that's just picking somebody apart is, to me,
right.
Not really that funny. So, you know, it's to me, I kind of like things that are a little on the wittier side. But, you know, good stupid jokes are fun, too.
Yeah, but you notice, by the way, you know how singers always get away with things. Singers, they could bomb. A singer will sing a song. At the end of the song, people will applaud. They don't give a shit. They'll applaud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Comedian, if they don't make you laugh, you're not going to get an applaud.
Yeah, well, they'll applaud just to get you off the stage.
Yes,
but
yeah.
They won't laugh, that's for sure.
They won't laugh. Now, the other thing also, with a singer, could sing any song. They could sing their own song or somebody else's song. And they sing somebody else's song, nobody cares. Right away, if we do somebody else's comedy, oh, shit, look what she's doing. I heard so-and-so do that. She's stealing.
I think if somebody did a song and tried to, you know, put it off as their own song, that would be, you
but
know.
But no one's saying they're putting
it off.
People
would get a little, yeah.
But we're assuming that a comedian is always going to use their own brand new humor. And
yeah,
they're not
right,
going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to when I'm doing something, I'm going to introduce it. I'm going to say I'm doing a scene from The Wizard of Oz. You know,
yeah.
I'm not writing this scene; it's been already written. You know.
Yeah. Right.
Or you know, I will totally introduce what I do, and you know, like that kind of a thing.
I like how singers can get up there, you know, and they'll be like tuning their guitar, like they'll start a song and then they'll stop it. And they'll just keep talking while they're tuning their guitar the whole time. You know, like, I can't do that. I can't go out there and go, hey, two guys walk in a bar. No, wait, no. Three guys. Yeah, three guys walk in a bar. No, wait. Two guys and a duck walk into a bar.
Yeah.
It's totally different, you know. We don't have that leeway. We can't take the mic out and hold it to the audience and have the audience tell the last half of the joke like a singer does, you know. They stick the microphone at the audience sings the word. We can't do that.
No, that's the other thing we can't do. I should try that one time. Go in the middle of a routine and just stop and say, come on, you know the rest of the joke. Come on, get it, say it. Come on, audience, say it.
There you go.
Come on. See what happens, you know? Yeah, but it's also the only business that they expect you to perform for nothing.
I'd like to
call up a couple of plumbers and say, come on over to my house and let me see what you could do.
A lot of really important people that will see your work. Trust me.
Yeah, right. And not only that, I'm going to invite a whole bunch of people to come in and watch you.
Yeah.
And they'll pay me like a $10 cover charge. $5 drink minimum, and we'll all watch you. And you know, if they like, we all like what you do. Then maybe we'll let you come back another time and do something else. I don't know. Maybe see if that works. Or do an entire run a whole showcase of people from other people's different businesses. You go up there and type a resume. Yeah, while Gertrude's typing resume, you know, we're going to have, you know, so and so forth. You know what I mean? Like, did you go on any of the excursions, by the way? Or
we did, yeah.
Regular?
We ended up snorkeling a lot, actually. We went to a couple of different places in Cozumel. We went out and just took a little snorkel trip that they dropped you off at three different places. And then on... we went to the ruins in Belize. We went to the Altunha ruins, which is really cool. They had the one that would have been what they assume would have been like where the chiefs of the different times were buried. And what they did was each time, like each leader who was there for however long, he would get like kind of built up. They would just put them, you know, when he died, they put him there. And then the next leader was buried sort of on top of him. So there was like seven different layers to this, and what they feel would have been, you know, seven different leaders. So it was really cool. And they let you kind of climb up on the top of it. So it was really, it was cool just to kind of think that standing there and below you were, because they were still there. It wasn't like they had been disinterred or anything. So there's below you were, you know, thousands and thousands of years old, and or just all that history literally below your feet. You know what I mean? It was just a really
sure.
a very weird, spiritual, cool experience just to be in there. I would have loved to have seen what it looked like at the time. You know, in the interim, rainforest has grown over, and they actually dug it up, to find it in the first place. I forget, they were planting something there, or they were doing something there, and that's how they discovered it.
Yeah.
So it would have been really cool to see what it looked like at the time, you know, and it just, because the history in our country, you know, something is old here if it's a couple hundred years old, and to, you know, the rest of the world, it's such a different place and a different feeling, and I think it's just such a cool experience to be, you know, just in a completely different mindset and in a different, completely different environment than what we're used to here in the United States, you know.
Well, we probably had extremely old stuff, and Shannon came over here and cleaned it up, recycled everything.
Yeah, there
you
go.
And
yeah.
That's it. She said, there's a broken building, you know, let's knock it down and, you know, and recycle the stones, you know, what the hell. So that's why we don't even have any of that stuff. But in Belize. By the way, it wasn't until after I got home I had gotten something in an email. It turns out in Belize City, someplace is a place where they grow the cacao.
Wow.
Oh God, I want to go back there. I've always wanted to see. I'm a chocoholic, absolutely. And I've always wanted to see, like, you know, chocolate from scratch, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've actually gone from, like, looking at the cocoa beans and actually been in a position where I had cocoa beans and I really needed to have some chocolate and just really breaking it down and the whole bit so I can. But I would have loved to have, you know, actually gone to a place to see what it looks like. But,
yeah.
And so did you go, and you said, what else did you go to? What other places?
We did a couple of snorkeling trips. So the first day we just got off with some friends, and we didn't do any of the ship organized things. We sort of got off and just,
and
you
did
know,
your own.
Yeah, kind of found our own thing, which was also kind of fun. And, you know, it's cool, too, because you sort of meet up with people that, you know, you just, hey, where are you going? Oh, you're from the trip, and you just go, you know. And just,
yeah. Well, it's, at some ports you can do that. You know,
yeah.
That you don't have to go terribly far or something,
yeah.
Or you also have to make a choice because a lot of people, you know, stand around and offer you trips.
Yeah. We went to on the island on Honduras. We rented scooters, and you know the little motorized scooter things. And
uh-huh.
I had never driven one, so I thought I could do this. It's just like a big bike, so I got a helmet on. Yeah, I'm fine as long as I'm wearing a helmet. I'm good. And I got about 20 feet, and they came up behind me, and I got bumped. They made my girlfriend drive.
Oh, God.
I got bumped. I was the chick on the back, I guess.
Oh, all right.
I'd have gotten the hang of it, darn it. They'd have given me a chance.
But that was a nice way to get around. I think it looked to me, of all the ports, the easiest one to hang around and maybe shop and all that was probably Cozumel, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a more more developed tourist destination too.
Yeah.
People, you know, just fly into Cozumel too. It's not just, you know, they found a place on the cruise line that they can stop and that's all that they get. So that's more.
Although
I don't know, they were all, you know, I was kind of surprised. You could just, you know, wander around everywhere. What surprised me, not only surprised me, but just the island on Honduras was so, like, lush, and all the trees, it didn't,
uh-huh.
I mean, it didn't look as tropical. It looked just strangely green to me in a different way, almost like it wasn't like there was pine trees or anything, but, you know, it just felt really, really, I guess it's rainforesty, whatever, I don't know, but it was beautiful, and the whole trip, all the stops I thought were lots of fun.
Well, Andrew, Linda, and I went to this place called Gumbalimba Park, and we couldn't pet them. We had, you know, parrots put on our shoulder, monkeys.
Wow.
I mean, you know, and it's hard for me because I'm ready to pet all the animals. You know, and I'm going, can't pet them. And we got, like, face up close to a whole bunch of hummingbirds. And they were just, you know, doing their thing. I thought that was one for me. I mean, I like to, having gone to South Africa and having a picture of me holding a 3-month-old lion cub was like, what's going to top this one, you know?
Yeah, right.
That was pretty. What the funniest thing I saw was in Costa Maya, and you got off, and I see all these people going into the pools that's over there at the port.
Hello.
And there were pools.
Oh, okay.
At the port, and I'm going, why would you want to get off the boat?
Yeah, right.
And go into a pool.
I don't know.
Am I missing something? That's just almost as bad as when I think it was Belize City, and was that the one with the tender?
Belize had the tender, yeah.
And I'm going, oh my God, I'm going to go off a boat onto a tender, go on land. Now I'm going to take a bus, and then I'm going to go on an airboat. And I'm thinking, I must be out of my mind with all these boats, you know. It took me a while.
What was the airboat like?
Oh, that was really cool. I don't know. That's something like you could do in the Everglades in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's really awesome because it's it moves fast, but they purposely do things like, you know, when they turn and you can, you know, feel the turns, or they'll do a 360, you know, kind of thing purposely. That's, you know, the boat itself. But what they do, you go into I guess the swamp kind of areas where you get to see all kinds of birds and crocodiles and, you know, and all kinds of things like that. So that's why I did that. Also, because it was a one. Yeah, they list them on the
screen. Yeah, right.
One, two, you know. I think I'll do a one today. I don't think I can. A two is, I did a two the other day. That was okay. Well, I didn't climb to the top of the ruins. So that's okay, you know.
It actually wasn't. It wasn't like you had to, you know, do rock climbing or anything. It was just a series of steps, so it really wasn't that strenuous at all. But you know, you can take your time and go up there, and there was a little rail along the side. But it was very, very neat.
So, are you planning to go back on the cruise again?
I would love to. Yeah, I would love to. I thought that was really fun, and this time I'd like to try one of the, you know, voluntourism excursions, because I think, you know, that was. You know, and they showed a video, as you know, they showed a video at the end of the week.
Yeah.
They put together Jamie Carva, I believe her name is Carvajal. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but she put together a really amazing video of all the different trips, and it just looked like it was really very meaningful. And talking to the people that did it, I wish I had done it. But actually, they were all full. All the excursions were full, because a couple of friends of mine tried to do them, and they said they were full, so...
So where do you go?
If I would have gone, I would have taken away that good deed doer feeling from someone else. So
yeah. Well, I you probably don't know what EST is, do you? EST.
Yes. No.
Oh. How about, do you know what Landmark Education?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Well, before it was Landmark Education, it was EST. And or as everybody said, oh, isn't that the thing you can't go to the bathroom? That's all. Everybody always made a comment that you couldn't go to the bathroom, and it was, yeah, it's true, you couldn't go to the bathroom whenever you wanted to. But that's what it was. That was a typical thing that that they would have had people do. It's so est of you know, going out there and serving and sharing and whatever, and I'm going, oh, I don't know, I guess it's still out there somewhere. Somebody's dealing with that. So where are you performing next anyway?
You know what? I've got a couple of shows around here that I book. I book a room up in Ventura that's really fun. It's the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club, but once a month they have a gay night. So I run the gay night. It's the Rainbow Comedy Night there, and it's really fun because I'm in an improv troupe, and so I get to kind of get to do my improv skills a little bit. I have the comics all come up. There's different comics every month, and there's usually four or five of us, and we each do a little bit of stand-up, and then after this, everyone's done a little bit of stand-up, then we all play some improv games together. And it's really a fun, it's a fun night, and it's fun for the comics because most of them don't usually do improv with any kind of regularity. Some of them have never done it, but they're willing to give it a try. And
sure.
So it's always a fun environment because, you know, it with improv, sometimes it's brilliant and sometimes it's just painful. So it's,
yeah.
You know, the audience kind of knows. But the improv troupe that I'm in is called Queer on Their Feet, and that's the same concept behind it. I came up with it several years ago when I was trying to put some shows together. And I thought, you know, what can I do that would be a different comedy show? So I was in a couple of different improv troupes, and I thought it would be fun to do stand-up and improv. And I noticed it one night at one of my, I used to be a member of a house improv troupe in Santa Monica. And I forget why, but for some reason I did stand-up before the show one night. And it was funny because it really warmed up me, and it warmed up the crowd, and I had a really good night improvising. And that was sort of what gave me the idea. I thought it would be fun to do a whole show like that because the audience gets to know you. If I'm standing up there and I do 15 or 20 minutes of material, then they get to know each of us. It's myself, Daniel Leary, and Diane Yanez. And they get to know us. They know our humor. They already like us. They know we're funny. So then when we do the improv games, it's sort of, I think it, you know, it makes the improv part more fun because they sort of feel like they know you, you know. So when you ask for suggestions, sometimes they'll give, you know, things that sort of reference back to our shows or whatever. So it's always a fun night. And each night is sort of an individual little show unto its own because it's, you know, like with improv, it's all different every time. So the show that I book up in Ventura is that same format. Not the same people every time, but the same format where it's myself and other comics doing stand-up first and then improv. And then I book a gig in a nightclub down here on the third Thursday of the month. And again, it's just a room. It's actually just more of a nightclub really than a comedy room. So it's kind of a laid-back, people just kind of trying out stuff and doing a few jokes before the big ladies' night kicks in. So I've got a couple of those shows, and then I'm headed down to Florida in January. And
where in Florida?
I'll be performing in Sarasota. So
okay.
I get to see my mom. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Are you looking to go back to P-Town next summer?
I will be back there probably again next summer, and then definitely for Women's Week.
Okay.
Yeah, October. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. Thank you, for calling in. I think Gloria Bigelow
Gloria's a doll. Tell Gloria I said hi.
You can actually say hi to her right now.
Oh, well,
hi,
Gloria Bigelow. Oh, there you are. Hi.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool, huh?
Coast to coast conference call. Love it.
I know.
Yeah. I can actually
Did you do any of the excursions? Not the regular excursions, but the voluntourism ones?
I did. I did.
You did?
The beach cleanup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Was it cool?
You know what? I'm actually sad that I didn't do more of them.
That's what I was just telling Merle, because we didn't do any. I felt like a real slug at the end. But
I did one. I did the beach cleanup, and it was so easy. It was like 45 minutes to an hour of cleaning, and then we just sat around and drank. I mean, it was delightful. We got a lot of trash, too.
I can't believe that no one hit the obvious joke of all the things that you found. And I finally said, and you found, because I said to Shannon, and you found everything, including the kitchen sink.
We did, exactly.
Yeah,
we actually did find a kitchen sink.
As soon as I
sink.
Saw the
yeah.
word that they found a sink, I went, oh, you found everything, including the kitchen sink. Isn't anybody going to use the line?
Well, that's the
so
kitchen
good.
Sink everyone else is looking for. I'll let you guys have your interview.
Sure.
And thank you so much, Merrill. And
sure,
good to talk to you, Gloria.
Anytime you want to, come on back, just, email me or call me, and, I'll do another show. What the hell?
Fantastic. Sounds good.
All right.
All right,
take
a lot,
care.
Merrill.
Bye-bye.
So you did, that was the cleanup on...
That was the first one. That was the first cleanup one. They had a couple cleanups on the cruise. We did the first one, and I did it with Cherry Bomb, the Cherry Bomb girl.
So, and I guess, like, are you in the movie?
Cherry Bomb, it's a vlog that's on After Ellen.
No, I mean,
Ellen's.
You know which movie I'm talking about? When they did the movie of the volunteer stuff? Did you see it yet?
I did see it. I don't know if we're in the movie or not. I don't think I remember seeing it.
And then they have a whole bunch of photos too. Did you check that out?
No, I haven't looked at them yet, but I'm sure that we're in there.
Okay. I'll look for you. But anyway, so first of all, how did you? This is a good idea if you introduce yourself. Tell everybody who the fuck I'm talking to. Dan, introduce yourself.
I'm Gloria Bigelow. I'm a comic out of New York City.
Okay, and how did you get involved with the cruise being in New York City? I'm curious.
Do you know what? I think that it was through, Shannon contacted me directly, but there's a woman named Andrea Meyerson, and she's done the movies Laughing Matters and Laughing Matters More, and then I was in her movie Laughing Matters Next Generation. And
okay.
So I think that maybe through Andrea got in touch with me. Shannon got in touch with me through Andrea.
Oh.
And Shannon sponsored me when I performed at Andrea's event in California, Cambria Women's Weekend. So I think they know each other's work and kind of work together.
So, all right. So let's talk about the kind of comedy that you do. How would you describe it?
I think that's one of the things that's kind of hard to do as a comic is to describe yourself.
The humor. What kind of humor are you into?
I'm into kind of, I like political humor, although I'm not quite smart enough to do it regularly, only when I just work really hard at it. But in general, I talk about, like, popular culture. I talk about, my experience being Black, my experience being a woman, my experience being a lesbian, and how that kind of intertwines in my life with my family and my friends and my relationships and, all that stuff. And then popular culture stuff.
Now, just because I want to kind of remember, I know that I remember laughing a lot when you were on. But if anybody said to me, what did she say? I'm a totally blank. So please, let's just, what were you going into? Like, I know, I hate to say perform, but I don't mean perform, but like, you know what I mean?
Well, I started off my set with, the stuff about the cruise, which is probably not that funny to people who aren't on the cruise.
Right.
And then I talked about, I have a joke about taking the word ghetto out of the popular vernacular.
Okay.
And I say, because I feel like people just don't know how to use it right, out in the suburbs, the kids have ghetto parties where they drink out of brown paper bags and they're like, we're so ghetto. And then I talk about my friend Becky, who's white, who used the word ghetto improperly. She said, we're at the dinner party at the end of the night. She's like, I'm going to roll ghetto style. And I was like, oh, shit, what's she going to do, pull out a brown paper bag or a Newport? I don't know. And then she proceeds to fill a Tupperware container with carrots and crudité. And I'm like, that's not ghetto. Ghetto would be if she named her daughter crudité.
That's the thing. About naming the daughter.
Okay. It's that kind of humor,
Right. That I did remember. That was the thing I did. Because I think I was joking about that later on. Or actually, Andrew Douglas, the one from the New York Sharks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's we brought that up later on, I guess, while we were eating. And
crudité. And yeah. They had crudité on the cruise.
Yes.
I know.
Again, so continue refreshing my memory. What else were you? Were you gabbing?
And then I just talked a little bit about my students. I work with underserviced kids in Brooklyn, and I talk about how they're, say everything is gay. For them, they're like, a kid turns in his homework and he's like, that's so gay. And I'm like, it's not really gay. It's just studious. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. And how, they like to wear their pants sagging and they waddle around like little urban ducks, that kind of stuff.
The witches did. Yeah, that's true.
I know.
So you said you teach. Is that what you do? That's
I work with students after school. I one school in Queens. I teach cheerleading, which I love. That's what I wanted to talk about, the Independent Women's Football League. I want to talk about the Sharks because I want to know if y'all want to have cheerleaders. So I teach cheerleading in Queens, and then I teach stand-up
where?
Comedy at PS 48.
Which is where?
It's in Jamaica.
Okay.
Jamaica, Queens. Uh-huh. And then
by
I
the
teach
way,
stand-up.
Hmm? I live in Woodhaven.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Okay. I ain't far from you, I guess.
No, not at all.
Okay. Oh, not far from where you teach, anyway.
Yeah. And then
okay.
in Brooklyn, I teach stand-up comedy to high school students.
Oh, cool. You teach stand-up comedy. Wow. Now, how do you go, I'm very curious, how do you teach it?
You know, the thing about it, like, I'm pretty new, Meryl. I've been doing stand-up, it'll be 4 years in January, right? So... And I started kind of like in a, that's my dog, sorry. I started in kind of a flukish way where a friend of mine, we were just talking and chatting about things, and she said, hey, you know, you should try stand-up comedy. And I was like, I don't know anything about stand-up comedy. I'm an actor. I went to school for acting. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. And she said, well, you just sit down and kind of write your thoughts, you know, write 3 minutes, and then we'll share them. We'll go to Joe's Coffee Shop in the Village, and we'll just like, you know, just, you know, read me what you wrote, you know. And at the time, I was, like, temping, so as a receptionist, so I had absolutely nothing to do. So I just sat down one day and started writing, and I wrote about 15 minutes of material the first time I sat down. And then I did nothing with it. I just sat on it for 2 years and was like, well, that was fun. I read it to her in Joe's coffee shop, and she was like, oh, my God, that's really good. You should, you know, you should really try to get up someplace and do this. And I don't know anything about getting up anyplace. So I was like, all right, no, we'll just leave it alone. And then 2 years later, as like a New Year's resolution kind of thing, I was like, you know, I think I'll just go ahead and try stand-up comedy. You know, just give it a try, give it a whirl, I don't know. So I went and I, like, Googled, you know, comedy clubs New York. This is how green I have no idea. I was like, just Google, just show up, you know. So I found the improv. I called somebody until I got an actual person, and then lied and said I'd been performing for years in Baltimore. Oh, you don't know me? I've been performing in Baltimore for years. Just lying. And then got up at the improv, packed the audience with my friends, and had a really good set. But I had no idea why I had a good set. Like, I didn't know what made me funny. I didn't know, you know, like, did I have something on my face or spinach in my teeth? Like, why were people laughing at what I was doing? So I took a class. And I took a class at Stand Up New York with a wonderful comic named Mary Domino. And she just kind of, like, broke down her kind of way that she does stand up and kind of, like, taught me about, like, you know, how things work in threes and, you know, how a punchline and a premise and just all those things that we don't, you know, that most people don't know are happening when they watch stand-up. So from that, and then from the time that I've been doing it, I've just been kind of like figuring out by watching other people what I find funny and why it's funny and just a lot of analyzing. So when it came to working with my students, I find a lot of them are just really funny, but they don't necessarily have a proper outlet for them to be funny. Like, they want to be, like, funny in class. You know what I'm saying? But there's nothing funny about them not, like, doing their work, you know? So this is great because it gives them an opportunity to be funny in a directed way, but it also gives them a voice about the stuff that's going on in their world and their community, but being able to find, like, a funny or a witty way to talk about it. You know, like a funny way to talk about the crackheads that are in their community because they're there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they have an effect on them. So,
this is an actual course? I mean, in high school?
It's an after-school club.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, because I'm thinking to myself, gee, I wish I could have done that while I was in high school instead of, my, you know, the two semesters of Spanish, I would have run two semesters of comedy would have been
right. Yeah, I would have
much
done
more enjoyable.
I've done comedy instead of cooking class.
Yeah, right.
If I'd had my choice.
That's pretty cool. When I one of the things I had that I had learned early in life was and actually having taken and you probably don't know what EST is, but this which is now I think called Landmark Education. And,
oh, Landmark. Yeah, I know about Landmark.
Yeah. Well, that's before it was a Landmark, it was EST.
Okay.
So I'm an old EST graduate.
Uh-huh.
And there was a whole thing when it on the first day of the training, the first thing the trainer said was, you said, you're all assholes. Well, you had to see, you had to see the reaction of the people in there being called an asshole, like, oh, I paid $250. I mean, there was, like, indignant. And I'm sitting there, I'm laughing hysterically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, what's gonna, how are these people going to deal with it? And I thought to myself, and exactly what he wound up, what it wound up being. If you don't acknowledge that you're an asshole, you're going to go through life going, I ain't going to do that. I'll look like an asshole.
Right. So might as well just put it up
so
front.
You might as well just do it. Well,
mm-hmm.
in order to get this all out there, everybody had to do these particular exercises.
Uh huh.
To make them look like a total asshole. It was a riot, and you know, they got to find out once they did it, they didn't die.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was okay. And so that's what I tell people, that, you know, anybody who's going to do comedy, that's the first thing you have to do is acknowledge you're an asshole.
Yeah. I think there's something to that.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't be afraid to be an asshole and be a comic.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work, you know.
Yeah, but the most important thing in terms of comedy that I also learned was it all boils down to taking responsibility of communicating your humor at 100%.
Yeah. And I think that that's a really hard thing to do, Meryl.
Yeah.
I think that that's hard because I think sometimes when you're new in the game,
mm-hmm.
you kind of don't want to put yourself all the way out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But then the times that are most rewarding is when you've left it all on the stage and you're just like, woo, and you went kind of like balls to the wall about it, and they went along with you, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But so that, you know, that teaching it is an interesting angle. Where are you? Are you performing in New York, like now or anything, or bookings coming up?
I perform every other Tuesday at Comics Comedy Club with Dykes on Mike's Comedy.
Oh, I thought, yeah. Oh, I remember something. I was in the Village.
Well, you know what? We used to be at Ruby Fruits, and then for a little while we were at Stonewall, and now Dykes on Mike's has moved to Comics Comedy Club. So it's a 9 o'clock show every second and fourth Tuesday of the month, and that's nice because we get like a, you know, it's just not a bunch of dykes sitting around. It, you know, we have a pretty wide range of comics that are, you know, queer or queer friendly. And
uh-huh.
we get a nice audience down there, and it's just like a one-item minimum, and there's no cover. So it's a great place to work out and a great place to know that you're going to get up, you know, to try new things.
Yeah, that's but as far as, now, what is the status over there? I mean, I know, I probably told you that I've been in showbiz like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of doing comedy. So, and I mean, do they pay you over at Comics?
They not for Dykes on Mike's. Dykes on Mike's is more of a workout room, but
right.
with the group Dykes on Mike's, we go to other cities, and Dykes on Mike's has played P-Town and a couple of shows in Boston, and we have a benefit, actually, that Dykes on Mike's is doing called Generosities, which is actually a show where women comics are going to perform without their shirts on, and they're giving the money
to breast cancer research for young survivors of breast cancer. That's coming up in January, and that's going to be at Comics. So, you know, not necessarily downstairs do we make money at Comics. That's more just like for our own workout
right.
moment, you know, because that's, you know, you have to, in order to be a comic, you gotta try things, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, but Dykes on Mics itself does make money at different venues, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. Yeah, that's, I was saying to Jen, is this the only business where they expect you to perform for nothing?
Yeah.
It's like they're doing you a favor in allowing you to perform at their place while you get your friends to come there and spend money, and you don't get any money.
So, and you know, and the thing about it is, like, I didn't, like I said, when I walked into stand-up, I had no idea.
Yeah.
About, you know, like, I didn't know what was what, so I couldn't believe, and then it occurred to me, I was like, oh my God, they're just making so much money off of, you know, my friends,
yeah.
you know, and sometimes I would, like, pay for my friends to get in, and they would have to buy their own drinks, and I was like, you know, each person you bring, they're spending $30, you have to bring 10 people, that's $300 per comic.
Yes,
you
that
know?
Was,
so,
yes, that was
the
thing, yeah. That was the thing that got me annoyed already. Like, you know, what kind of game is this? You know, you, and especially I, you know, people would always say to me, when I say I'm a comedian, and they'd say, oh, have you performed at the improv? And that my answer is no, I get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, like, if my feeling is, if the improv is known for having comedians and good entertainment all the time, why do I need to be bringing people? It should just have, you know, people saying, oh, I think I'm going to go to the improv because there's always, you know, good entertainment there. I mean, you're not going to do that with a, you know, what used to be like the Copacabana nightclub. People didn't have to bring in, you know, their friends and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, that's the whole thing. It's, you know.
It's a hustle.
It's a hustle. And sometimes it pays and sometimes it doesn't. What I particularly found is that once I was, I did a couple of summers in Provincetown.
Mm-hmm.
And once I was able to do that, then I was able to, like, I got back home and I would say, and I just call up the gay bars and say, I want to book myself. And they say, who are you? Mm-hmm. And I said, I just finished doing P-Town, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it got me gigs, you know. But then, it still got to some point where, you know, I could say, look at my resume, and they'll say, no, we want to see you perform. And I'd go,
mm-hmm.
but no one else does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, anyway, but so that's where we can kind of see you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking to? What do you think about going back to on a cruise again?
Well, I definitely do a cruise again. I had a blast after recovering from the first day. I was fine. I loved waking up every morning in a new place. And I loved, like, you know, waking up and seeing the ocean outside, you know, our little small shoebox rooms. I really like that. I love that on this cruise they hand sanitized your hands the whole time. I really liked that. Those people, those hand sanitizers,
yes.
I love those.
You know, I got so, like, what do you call it, you know, used to it, like, you know, after the first day as they were doing it over and over. I mean, you'd think, I mean, like, here I was, like, you know, being tossed around in bed there during the hurricane, and when I finally got to the bathroom, you know, because I had to finally pee, and I'm thinking, after I got out of the bathroom, I said, I can't believe I stood there and actually washed my hands. You know? But that was true. Actually, it could also, you know, come, you could take that and, you know, and get some humor out of that as well.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, yeah, it's you know, taking situations you're in, and expanding on them,
mm-hmm.
and then and I guess depends on, then it comes to, like, who's your audience as to whether they'll understand it. Or,
yeah.
You know, that's you know, that's what it's all about. And it's you know, it's fun. It's but as I was saying to Jenny, the difference is when you're a singer, though, you can sing somebody else's songs. You finish a song, they applaud.
Yeah.
As a comedian, you know,
yeah.
there's no, you know, you got to get them to laugh. And if you do somebody else's comedy, they'll know. They'll say, oh,
yeah.
You're doing whatever. It's like, well, a singer can sing whenever they
yeah.
want. What do you mean? You know, but that's, yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I can. But, well, I'm glad that you had a great time. And I'm going to, maybe I'll, I don't know, maybe on the next cruise I'll get up and I'll get myself booked on the cruise.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what I'm willing to do after all these years. I'm not sure. But anyway, I appreciate that you called in, and you know, keep me up to date on, you know, anything that you're doing, especially, and if I can, you know, as a journalist, and I can, you know, go cover something, review it or whatever, and you know, get some publicity out there for you too.
Well, that's great. I'll let you
yeah.
know. I have an event coming up in Chicago in March, and a couple things here and there. So I'll be in
cool.
touch.
Okay, that's
all
great.
All right, thanks, Meryl.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for calling in. And I wish I'm sorry I didn't like tape what you did, so I can, you know, afterwards like laugh at it. But you know, I can't do that. All right, have a great evening, Gloria.
You too. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so, while I'm waiting for our next caller, I want to play, let's see. There was a group on, a duo on board, Arvin and Emily. And let's see if I uploaded, yeah, I uploaded a couple of the songs they sang, but one of them, let me see, that's not the one. I'm looking at my uploads here of songs. I'm gonna play this for a while, just some of this so you can hear, especially Emily's voice.
If I should stay, I would only be your way. So I oh, but I know I'll think of you in every step of the way. And I
that was, yes, that was Emily, of Arvin and Emily, who are singing on the cruise. And now we have our next comedian calling in. Okay, you're on the air. You got this? You got us now?
Yeah. I'm here. Am I here?
You're on. Yeah, you're on live now.
Yay! Hi, everybody. How are you, Meryl?
Okay. By the way, were you calling before, too, a little while ago, too?
I had two numbers in there in the phone, and I was going back and forth, and anyway, sorry about that.
Okay. I just wanted to know. See, what happens is that it's easy, like, if I'm in the middle, like, I have a song going on, and then I can, like, you know, switch it, like, you know, flash and say, yeah, you know, and talk to somebody. Otherwise, somebody calls me, I can't talk to them, you know, if I...
Right.
But anyway, so how you doing?
I'm great. I just got out of Tufts University, and I'm ready to talk, and I had a great, good times. I'm sweet. I got off the sweet cruise, too. What am I thinking about? I should be talking about that.
Yeah. So first let's go to, like... introduce yourself, first of all.
Yeah, okay. My name's Chantal Carrere, and you can check. I'm a stand-up comedian. I got Six Funniest Lesbian on Curve Magazine. I was on ABC TV Fat March. I was the winner, one of six winners. And you can see me anywhere. All over, but I don't know. wherever a comedy club is near you or a college.
Okay.
So I'll be in New York on the 10th.
You will, huh?
Yeah, I'll be in, I think I'm doing a show called Closet Cases with Sean Hollenbach, and it's true stories about coming out. And but the next stand-up gig is with Amy T, actually. I'm doing that on the 13th, the day before my birthday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited, yeah. So I perform anywhere. I was on Sweet Cruises as a special guest. And that was an amazing experience, going to the Caribbean with all those ladies. You were there.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Yeah. Now, did you get out off the boat when we went to port?
Oh, yeah. All the ports I got off at the, yeah.
Were you seasick did you ever get seasick?
You know, I was talking to Shannon last night on the radio. I absolutely did not believe this was the first time. No, I'm sorry. You don't know. The only time I didn't get seasick was on the Mississippi Queen. It only went 7 miles an hour on a river. Other than that, if I don't actually get seasick, I get nauseous or I get, you know, my head goes in, you know, in pea soup or whatever.
Right.
And this was actually the first time that it didn't affect me at all, except, you know, like being thrown back and forth across the hallway. Other than that, I was fine. I don't know why.
Yeah, I was fine too. I never needed anything. My girlfriend, though, she, on the other hand, was, when we were in Belize, remember we had to get on that little dinghy boat to get us out there?
Oh, no!
Yeah, my girlfriend had a panic attack, and she's like, I'm staying here. I'm staying on the ship. Go, go. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to come to Belize. You better Belize, I'm leaving you. So I'm like, and I did. I liked it. I had a good time, though. It was gorgeous.
What did you do in Belize? Did you do the volunteer thing or you did something else?
No, I wish I could say that I was more, you know, like that. But no, I was like, oh, my God, I shopped. And basically, we got there, you know, to the dock, and you know how they all bark at you. And I was like, I'm not doing this. And then my friends signed up, unbeknownst to me, for this beach, right? And then they wanted to zip line. So we go to this, basically a pre-made, manufactured beach with a zip line. It was ridiculous. The water slide was broken. And it was just like, they did zip line, but I ended up playing dodgeball and volleyball, and it was not Belize. It was just, you know, it is what it is. But I did not feel like I experienced Belize at that place. You know what I mean? It's like you go to an amusement park. You know,
right?
It's not the same.
I'm curious. When you did the zip line, this was because there was an actual excursion revolving zip lines. That wasn't the same thing, right?
No. Because what we did is there were the excursions on the boat, and then my friend wanted to try to barter outside, which can be dangerous because you don't know what you're really getting.
Right.
Like in our situation, the boat can guarantee you this is quality. And my friends were like, well, let's just see what we can get off the boat. Well, I found out what we got, and I was like, no, I'm done with you people. I'm not sitting in murky sand in Belize in a petri dish pond called the beach. You got to be kidding me. So, when we went to the first place, the Mayan, what was it, the Costa Maya?
Costa Maya, yeah.
Yeah, we went there, and my girlfriend started feeling sick because she really was feeling sick from the, you know, she didn't know she was seasick. We'd never been on a cruise before, but I was fine. And anyway, so I went with my friends to see the pyramids, the Mayan pyramids, and go to Maya. And I'm telling you, Merle, you are not going to believe this. Our tour guide, right, is driving us. We're all in a pass van, a white pass van, on this highway, and six women. And his guide says to us, our island used to be really notoriously known for drug dealing and human trafficking. Says this to us. And I have this moment, Merle, where I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. We just got in a van. We don't know these people. We're six women. And at the end of the day, let's be honest, if he wanted to, he could have pulled us over, and God only knows. And you can't overpower a strong man, especially if there's a bunch of them. And I thought, I am not going to end up, I had just seen the movie Taken, too. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I was like, I am not going to end up some drugged out Russian whore being raped on some seedy cot. And I was, and my friends looked at me, and I was like, listen, I realize we're over 20 years old because I'm 37. Nobody wants it, right? I get it. We're not 23. So we were safe, and we went to the ruins, and we had a good time. And the guy was really nice, but I couldn't believe he even said that out loud. Like, probably not the most appropriate thing to say.
No, but, right.
Or comforting, you know what I mean? Because it wasn't through the cruise ship, again. I was having moments like, what the fuck are we doing? Well, you said I could swear, I'm not censored, you know. But, it was a great experience. And then Belize was okay. My favorite moment was, I have to say, the Rotan was really nice. I didn't really experience it because, we were worried about, because the government, remember how, I guess I heard the president got overthrown by the military and exiled, and then they let him back in. But we went walking with my two friends, Tina Reinhardt and Steph, who I met on WinFest when I performed there. Anyway, they're awesome people, and they're bodybuilders, so I felt quite safe with them. I mean, these women are ripped. And we're walking down the street, and these kids are like roaches. They're like at you, scrambling, you know, for your money and all this stuff. And it was really, like, intrusive. I felt sorry for them, but I also could see, you know, the manipulation of it. You know what I mean? Like when you're in Tijuana, chicola, chicola.
Yeah.
And so I was like, look, I'm not swayed. And I have a kind of New York mindset like that, too. Like, I can see through this bullshit. And it was also really beautiful. And then these two kids start fighting, trying to get over a dollar. And so then this one lesbian was kind enough. She whips out her wallet. But then once that happened, you know, everybody wants a dollar. You can't do that with kids. So I ended up buying a conch shell. We go get a beer. This woman, I said, listen, I need my space. This woman who's been following us with these 12 kids tells these kids to back off. We go into this, like, dock and bar dock. And they have office chairs around this table. And it was the coolest and the funniest thing to me that they had. I said, you guys were having a board meeting. You didn't know this, but it's happening. And we ended up getting some beers. It was beautiful. You could see the ship, the water. And then we leave, and this woman is still following us. So I make her take a picture with us, Merle. And then we walk over to, she keeps wanting my friend to get her hair braided. My friend that's all ripped, you know, her girlfriend. And a Stephanie. And anyway, so I buy this blow, what do you call those conch shells? You know those things where they make noise, the shells?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Sorry, I know this got long-winded and boring. But anyway, the bottom line is this guy has a thumbnail the size of, like, I mean, I've never seen a thumbnail that long on a man. And it was dirty, and he blows into the, and he had one tooth. He had one tooth. And he blew into the conch shell, and then with me, without thinking, I grabbed it, wiped it off, and I blew in it. My girlfriend's jaw dropped and threw antibacterial at me. I blew in the same shell. She's like, if you think I'm kissing you, you're out of your mind.
Oh, God.
And then drool, spit came out of one of the shells on the table, and I was, like, so grossed out. But I bought the shell. I paid $10. I was a shitty haggler that day. So, but anyway, I got the shell, and my friend got her hair braided, and she ended up looking like the Predator. So, we had a good time, though.
Oh, God.
So, that was a train wreck of a story. I apologize. It could have been.
No, it's okay. So, that was, did you, what'd you think? You didn't, how'd you find Cozumel, though?
Oh, my God. That was my favorite place. It was the most, well, obviously Americanized, but we went to San Francisco Beach. You know, we like to keep things real. And I did do good with my haggling there. We rented a car, got it down to $65, a minivan at Alamo. We all piled into it, and we went to San Francisco Beach. I snorkeled. I went to this, we paid $10 for the water park area and the ocean there, and I kayaked. It was the most beautiful experience ever. I've never snorkeled in my life. And when the guy took us out, you know, like past the, you know, the where the, we actually had to take a boat. We left the, you know, the dock area where everybody else was for the water sports and the beach, and he takes us out there, and I could still see it. It was kind of in the distance. My friend jumps in. I'm terrified. I'm like, I was thinking about that movie Open Water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, my fat ass is not going to die out here. They're going to think I'm a seal and eat me. You know? I'm like, I'm not at goal weight, and I'm going to die, you know. So I get in there, my friend's like, calm down. And the two guys, I don't speak Spanish very well, and they're laughing at me. They can see the terror. And then my friend goes, just jump. And so I jump. And then the guy throws me a floaty because he can see what a bitch I'm being because I'm terrified because the boat's leaving. I go, where's the boat going? Where's the boat going? And he goes, it's turning around. I'm like, okay. So then we start swimming, and I look down, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is so beautiful. And then I was fine, and then I didn't need the floaty. But then the floaty started going away, and Paco had to go, literally, his name was Paco. I'm not trying to be funny. Literally went go swimming for the damn floaty because I was fine. I had a great time, and it was an incredible experience. I have memories that I will have for the rest of my life, and just, you know, just a great experience. And it was so interesting to be with that many women, and my period did start early, I will say that. But I was like, you bitches, you started my cycle early. I'm over it. Much estrogen. But, yeah, I don't know, it was fun, and it was great, and I love the parties that we had, the theme parties, the 80s night, the, you know, I did bingo, I hosted bingo, that was fun, and I don't know, I just, it was, you did karaoke, you sang The Rose, it was amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I did that.
You have a beautiful voice, I don't know why you're acting all coy.
Well, I don't sing anymore. And what happened, and I don't even know when the last time I actually, that I sang, and here I'm going cold with them, you know, thinking, okay,
yeah.
I'm just going to do the song. And my brain says, there's a part, and my brain says, I have to, if I don't sing the notes, like, perfectly on pitch, I'll embarrass myself. That's what goes on in my head. But that's
right.
But that's because, I mean, aside from everything else, as a musician, which I'm a musician as well, I've been singing since I was like, I guess like 10 years old, that I was always singing,
wow.
Whether it was in the glee club or a chorus or something, I was always singing. And then what I would keep doing is I would sing, I'd play the piano, and I would sing to practice, to keep my voice in shape so I can do my comedy. And then also, and because it does helps when I, you know, if I'm doing scenes from The Wizard of Oz, I'm, you know, I'm changing voices constantly, and it's a matter of, it's all pitches,
right?
You know, and so that's
why
I would constantly sing. But when it came to actually doing the show, I would maybe throw in a song just as a change of pace. But not that, that wasn't a song I would sing. I wouldn't sing The Rose because it wasn't a, it wasn't either a funny song or a show tune. And so, like, the, when I decided to sing The Rose, it was an interesting experience for me because I the decision was, am I going to just sing it or should I, for the first time, should I try to perform the song? And I said, oh, what the hell? What, you know, no one knows who the fuck I am.
Right.
You know, I'm a journalist on the ship, you know. And I decided to do it, and I thought, oh, look at that. I need a tape of what that looked like.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, but it was, I enjoyed the whole cruise. I mean, I would like to do it again with a different angle, even though as a journalist, but because I think I was too caught up in my other thing, which is having to do with the football. I was very caught up with the football.
Oh, right.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, the football girls, right.
Yeah, and, you know, so anyway. But I wanted, you know, I'd love to do it again. The space is so great. It's a tremendous amount. The empowerment, the power of, you know, being with a whole bunch of women is nothing. There's nothing like it.
Oh yeah, it was incredible.
The energy level is just is amazing. So if you could characterize your kind of humor, what would you characterize as your humor?
High energy and autobiographical.
Okay, so you make the
Well, I guess I didn't characterize it. I described it. Sorry.
Yeah. So, in other words, you kind of talk about your own personal experiences.
Yes, I
and
do.
And make fun of them.
Yeah, and I tell true stories. I'm a storyteller.
Uh huh. Yeah.
With punchlines.
You know, I have to say that of everything that happened on the ship, I mean, having the hurricane made for a great piece of material for everybody.
I have to say, it's the truth. And also the sanitation. Because,
oh, yes,
you know, that was crazy. I said at one point I opened my door and I just got sprayed. You know what I mean? It was like, for the people that don't know, we were literally on the ship. And because the people before us, a different cruise, was on that boat, and 260 of them got sick. So nobody was allowed to touch any food in the buffet. Everything was served to you, and everywhere you went, wherever, any room you entered, you had to be sprayed. And they had a bottle that looked like Windex, and they would spray you with antibacterial. So anyway, for the audience that's listening, and so anyway, every time Merle and I or anyone, so I just felt like, you know, and I said in my joke, I have a joke about Brazilian wax, and I said, I know that stick wasn't sanitized. After being on the ship, I know what sanitized is. So I was like, yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
I know. I was commenting that the one funny thing that I realized, I guess I was so caught up with this thing. It's like during the hurricane, when I finally got out of bed, I had to pee. When I finally, you know, I got to the bathroom and then I washed my hands. I mean, I just want to get the fuck back in the bed, and I'm going. And after I washed my hands, I said, "Why the fuck did I do that for?"
I know, right? Because we're crazy. Because they got you trained.
Yeah.
I know. I was to a point that my skin was coming off. I'm like, this is disgusting. I have no, because there's no moisture and alcohol when they're spraying you constantly. I told my girlfriend, I was like, hold still, I'm just going to, and then we had our own antibacterial, we're just a mess. And then the ship, when we went through that one night, when it was the roughest seas, I was in bed, my girlfriend was terrified, and I was spooning her, and I was like, it's okay, don't worry, you know, God's got us, I'm like, it's going to be fine, they've gone through rougher seas, don't worry, it's a big boat, right?
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, the third wave hits, and the glass Perrier bottle flies across the room, and you hear, and then this is me. I am no longer the comforter. I'm bitch crying. I'm like, we're going to die. You know, I'm like, Lisa, get your vest on. We're going to die. So I because you're crazy right now. And then that stupid, you know, on the TV you can watch the movies. They had, have you seen that cartoon? I think it's by DreamWorks. It's called Up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the saddest fucking movie ever, cartoon. His wife dies, and then they're trying to seize his house because they want it for commercial development. Who wrote this nightmare? I'm in the room. I have my period because there's 700 women are surrounding me. I'm like, you know what I mean? And my period's cycling quicker. I'm in the room. My poor girlfriend's passed out and, you know, sleeping. And I end up curling out. I'm like, I don't want to die alone. Don't die without me. She's like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I'm like, the stupid movie Up is on. Oh, God. I said, I'm making her make a pact to take a pill with me so we can die together. It's sick. She goes, I don't know if we're going to stay together. I'm just kidding. We've been together 7 years. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. What the other thing I found, like, to make fun of was every time the announcements.
Oh, good morning, sweeties.
Sweeties. Yes. But the thing it was like, what the fuck is he saying? I can't hear it. I mean, I didn't know that there was an opportunity. You can turn to a certain station on the TV to hear it.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I'd be in the hall like a jackass, like 12 other women down the hall with you.
And I had pictured, like, at some point, a whole bunch of naked women in the hallways listening to these announcements because, you know.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. But, you know, there's definitely enough to make fun of, you know, in terms of what happened
comedy.
With the ship. Yeah.
I said if the ship goes down, I said, I know you guys are all latching on to me. We're going to make it to Florida. My tits are so big. I got 700 lesbians trying to latch onto my nipples, my girlfriend trying to feed them down. I'm a triple D. Should be interesting.
Yeah.
Bunch of Cubans latching on. Come on, mommy, come on. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my God. I should be so lucky. Anyway, so, yeah, I had a great time, and I liked DJ Tatiana. It was amazing. Did you hear her music? She did the club skirts, and Danny from Tequila Tequila was up there, and it was fun.
Yeah, I played some music from Corday.
Okay.
I got her CD. I played a couple of songs. I did that. I've been trying to get, and I got, I don't know if you saw it, if you got to see Arvin and Emily. It was a duet, the Filipino, and they were performing like in the Charlie's Lounge kind of thing, like up on the 8th floor. They would have, like, you know, duets and stuff like that there. And,
yeah, that's where I performed, in the lounge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, on the 7th floor. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And,
that's where you did the rose, right?
Huh?
Were you saying the rose there?
Oh, no, not there. In the, it's like, there's this level. It's like on the 8th
yes,
floor.
By the gift store and the watches.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was, like, kind of curious as to, like, how come, you know, there were NCL entertainers on the ship. Like, didn't we have enough? Couldn't we provide any? Not that I didn't like them.
I saw that. What the hell was going on?
Well, I was asking Shannon about it because I was kind of wondering, you know, like, okay, what happens when you book a ship? I mean, are you required to use other entertainers and stuff like that? And she said to me that when these kind of things happen, well, because these entertainers are on the ship for, like, when they're booked, they're not booked for a week. They're booked for, like, you know, months. So they're automatically on the ship. And she says you can request to have entertainers. And probably my guess is that, Emily and Arvin were probably totally recommended, and the show elements, people kept
right.
on hearing, you know, about this happening, and that's how that got on, which I'm glad. I mean, that was a hell of a show. Did you get to see it?
I did not see it. What was great about it?
Oh my God! It was a cross between a magic show and Cirque du Soleil.
Really?
Yes. It was like for some reason or other, when I saw it advertised, I had this expectation of some NCL part of the crew or whatever doing all this like song and dance kind of, you know, end of the kind of thing. That's what I kind of thought. And then this thing came out and I went, oh my God, what is, you know? And after, what went through my head after it ended was, and let's see, so we're going to follow this and do our own show?
Yeah.
I hope it's
it was
good.
A production. Yeah.
I mean, it was really a production. I went online to check it out. As a matter of fact, it's a new production, and this, I think, it was the first time it was presented on the ship.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I did hear about that. I did hear about that show. I heard it was. I think Sandra Ball told me about it. I think she saw it and said that it was amazing. But I did hear about that.
But
I didn't know though.
So what are you doing now? Where are you going? What's up?
I am right now getting ready for colleges, and I'm getting an album coming out soon called Kitten Unleashed. It'll be on iTunes, Rhapsody, on anywhere you can download. You'll be able to get my album. You can also go online, and if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get a download code sent to you for one free download on iTunes, so you can get, like, you know, one free joke. So it's pretty, well, I mean, you know, and then you can buy the album. But it'll be fun, and the album's called Kitten Unleashed, and it's a great cover. I can't wait. You'll see it soon.
And this comes out when?
Well, January was a shoot date, but I'm working with a publicist,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to do, I didn't think about promotion until I got a publicist, and so we're going to probably do it 6 months out, so it might be, but I'm trying to do it for 4 months, so January, where are we in, December, January, February, March, so I guess March would be the release is what I want,
yeah.
But we'll see, and I'm working, but I am waiting, like, I'm in discussions with a publicist. This is the part you didn't need to hear, but anyway, either way, it'll be out shortly, and you can still sign up, and for my it's chantalcareer.com, and if you sign up for the fan on the newsletter or whatever, I'll email you. I never sell anybody's email. It's all private. You can also withdraw it anytime you want.
Sure.
And I don't blast people like crazy. I just let you know about the you know, important stuff like albums and my tour. I do have another tour. I have another production that I do, which is called Fruit Cocktail, and that's in the works, and we're getting a tour, like a national tour set up for that. Right now I'll be in New York for Closet Cases. You can see me with Amy T, I think, at the, I want to say, not, I can't think. Go to my website. Just go to my website because all the tour dates are there. And I'll be in Los Angeles. I know I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in Miami. I'm doing some shows there. And I can't think right now. But if you go to my tour page, it's all there.
Okay, so, and your website is, it's yourname.com, or what is it?
Yeah, it's chantalcarree.com, and that's it. Just go there, and it'll take you to my MySpace. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, all of that. And,
okay.
Yeah, I thank you for everything.
You're very welcome.
I have Gloria coming on, and I look forward to seeing you soon, hopefully. I know they have another Caribbean cruise. I think it's coming up, right?
Yeah, I think, well, that, I don't think the cruise won't be till like next year. I would like to shoot for going to Cozumel, though.
That's what it is, the Cozumel.
Yeah.
I love Cozumel. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I like the being there. But I also, it was also the company. I like that.
Yeah, I love the company. It was great. I made great friends. I actually am doing a half marathon in Miami with, well, I was doing it anyway with, I have some friends in Miami, but I actually made friends on the cruise that are now going with me to Miami.
Oh, that's great.
Marathon. Yeah.
That's super.
Yes. Now if I can just get the goal weight. So anyway, keep the dream alive. Anyway, yeah. Check me out. Thank you again, Merle, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Okay. And have a great evening.
Oh, you too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. So, yeah, so don't forget to get to Chantal Carrere. So it's chantalcarrere.com, and you can, find out what's going on with her. So I'm waiting for Sandra Vance to call. I just wanted you like to hear a little bit now that you heard Emily. This is both Emily and Arvine. Jewish weapons of mass destruction. And I just kind of, I'll try to, like, see if I can, you know, get this done before the call comes in. But first it shows latkes. Latkes. And it describes a pancake-like structure, not to be confused with anything a first-class health restaurant would put out. In a latke, the oil remains inside the pancake. It is made with potatoes, onions, eggs, and matzo meal. Latkes can be eaten with applesauce and or sour cream, but could also be used to comb your hair, shine your shoes, or lubricate your automobile. There is a rumor that in the time of the Maccabees, they lit a latke by mistake, and it burned for 8 months. What is certain is that you will have heartburn for the same amount of time. It tastes good, but will stop your heart if the grease gets cold. Next thing is matzah. The Israelis' punishment for escaping slavery. Oh, God, if you've never had a matzah, you'll understand. Okay. It consists of a simple mix of flour and water. No eggs or flavor at all. When made especially well, it could actually taste like a cardboard box recycled from the Tel Aviv city dump. Its redeeming value is that it does fill you up and stays with you for a long time, sometimes for too long, and it's recommended that you eat lots of prunes with it. If the prunes don't work, try castor oil or even gunpowder. Gunpowder is a last resort before a surgeon has to mine it out. I'm sorry. Or if you're Jewish, I'm Jewish and I grew up and having this food, and I kind of understand. Okay, next one. Kasha varnishkas. One of the little known delicacies, which is even more difficult to pronounce than to cook. It has nothing to do with varnish, but it is basically a mixture of buckwheat and bow tie noodles, not macaroni. Why a bow tie? Many sages discussed this in the Old Testament and agreed that an ancient Jewish mother decided, son, you can't come to the table without a tie, or God forbid, put an elbow on my table. If mama said bow ties, you better believe that's what the family used, even if they had to invent them on the spot. Blintzes. Not to be confused with the German war machine Blitzkrieg. Can you imagine the Jerusalem Post in 39 with huge headlines announcing Germans dropped tons of cheese and blueberry blintzes on Poland? Shortage of sour cream expected. Basically, this is the Jewish answer to crepe Suzette. They actually offered on the menu at the local International House of Pancakes, but no one knows what the hell they are. In ignorant bliss, they often serve them frozen from the Blitz factory. No modern American woman would take time to make them if she can find a grocery store selling frozen ones, assuming she can find someone in the store that knows where they are stored. Kishka. You know from Scottish haggis?
Yep, sir.
Well, this ain't it. Remember what I say if you should go to the Highlands. You do not want to eat haggis, no matter how much scotch you've downed. In the old days, they would take an intestine and stuff it. Today, we use parchment paper or plastic made in China. And what do you stuff it with? Carrots, celery, onions, flour, and spices. But the skill is not to cook it alone, but to put it in the chalent, see below, and let it simmer for 24 hours until there is no chance whatsoever that there is any nutritional value left. The gravy can be purchased in bulk at all Southern Biscuitville drive-thrus. Kreplach. It sounds worse than it tastes. There's a rabbinical debate on its origins. One rabbi claims it began when a fortune cookie fell into the chicken soup. Another claims it started in an Italian restaurant and the owner yelled at the chef, "This is a pasta, tastes like a crepe." Either way, it can be soft, hard, or soggy, and the amount of meat inside depends on whether it is your mother or your mother-in-law who cooked it. Tastes best if made in a Manhattan deli where they serve soup by the barrel load. Now, oh, they show a picture of chowlet. That looks terrible. Okay. Gefilte fish. A few years ago, an Israeli politician had problems with the filter in his fish pond, and a few of his fish got rather stuck and mangled. His son, 5 years old at the time, looked at them and asked, "Is that why we call it gefiltered fish?" Originally, it was a carp stuffed with minced fish and vegetable mixture. Today, it usually comprises of small fish balls eaten with horseradish, pronounced chayn, to rhyme with insane, which you would have to be to inflict it on your innards. And it's judged on its relative strength in bringing tears to your eyes at 100 paces. The very name of this dish frightens fully grown and sophisticated Gentiles, and they actually run when it is merely mentioned. This is so true. Oh, God. Okay. And the last thing is bagels. How can we finish without the quintessential Jewish defense weapon, the bagel? Like most foods, there are legends surrounding the bagel, although I don't know any other than it was first discovered when unsugared donuts accidentally petrified. There have been persistent rumors that the inventors of the bagel were the Norwegians who couldn't get anyone to buy smoked lox. Think about it. Can you picture yourself eating smoked salmon or trout on white bread? Rye? A cracker? Nah. The Israeli Defense Forces Research Lab looked for something hard and almost indigestible, which could take the spread of cream cheese and which doesn't take up too much room in desert maneuvers ration kits. And why the hole? The truth is that many philosophers believe the hole is the essence, and the dough is only there to indicate where the hole is placed. It remains an eternal existential discussion topic. Meanwhile, the Gentiles discovered they like them and are now getting as fat as Jews eating them at McDonald's. Oh, God, I don't know who made this up, but somebody sent this to me. So, okay. Well, again, Sandra Valls was supposed to call in. I don't know. But let's go to a – I want to get one of my sponsors.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yes, JetBlue, it's definitely one of my favorites. I have two favorites, JetBlue and AirTran. I have to come up with a particular commercial for AirTran. I can't think of something. I'll have to talk to their PR people for something, like, you know, catchphrase or something. I highly recommend AirTran as well. I think they're probably rated between the two of them, like the top airlines in terms of getting you there, being comfortable, et cetera. So now, because I love music, and I didn't play this for a while. So, and Hair, again, I think Hair is a new cast, or a lot of the new cast. But I'm going to play, this is the from the album of the cast that just recently got on Broadway, and here's my favorite.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new tall lie.
Well, I'm going to just end it a little bit early since I haven't gotten my caller. And that's okay. We've had enough laughs and humor. Probably if you go read my blog on Google my name. I have my blogspot site, merlesworlds.blogspot.com. Let me just kind of make sure. Wait a minute. It's, oh, is it World with Merle? Let's go. Yes. Actually, it's, yes, merlesworlds.blogspot.com. And you can read all about the trip, see a lot of photos. And, oh, there she is. Yep. That's Esther. I don't know where Ida is. I'll have to find Ida. I think Ida's probably playing with my cats, Theo and Max. But Esther, my dear rubber chicken from the rubber chicken forest in California, is here with me, co-hosting the show. I didn't realize that she had been, like, hiding around here. And so we're both going to, like, say bye-bye to everybody now. And, well, let's see, tune in. Tomorrow is what I'm going to be doing the show about a play that I saw. Oh, God. You can tell I'm from New York, huh? A play that I saw called The Gayest Christmas Pageant Ever. And it really was. And I'm going to have, I think, some members of the cast and I think the director, I'm not sure who I'm going to have. I'm doing the show from 3 to 5 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, have a great day, evening, or whatever it is that you're having, and I'll talk to you again. Esther, come on, that's it. I'm ending the show.